gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Mamta Machinery Limited introductory conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sayam Pokharna from TIL Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rutuja. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us in this introductory conference call of Mamta Machinery. To take us through the company and the results, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Apurva Kane, Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Madhuri Sharma, Company Secretary, Compliance Officer and Chief IR Officer. Unfortunately, due to a last-minute emergency, our Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Deepak Modi, couldn't join this call. We will begin the call with a brief overview of the company and on the latest financial performance from Mr. Kane, followed by a Q&A session. Please note that any forward-looking statement made during this call should be considered in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties that we face. These risk factors have been detailed in our prospectus document. With that, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Kane. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Pokharna. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Mamta Machinery Limited, I, Apurva Kane, extend a warm welcome to our maiden investor conference call. Today marks a significant milestone as we open this forum to engage directly with our valued stakeholders. Since this is our first call, I would like to start with a brief overview of our company. Since commencing operations in 1989, Mamta Machinery has evolved into a global brand in flexible packaging machinery solutions, now celebrating 37 years of innovation and excellence. We began with designing and manufacturing bag and pouch making machines, a vertical where we hold a dominant market position. Over the decades, we have expanded our portfolio to include packaging machines and co-extrusion blown film machines. Addressing diverse flexible machinery needs across 75 countries. Till date, we have delivered over 4,500 machines worldwide, a testament to our engineering prowess and customer trust. As an R&D-driven organization, we pride ourselves on pioneering advancements such as world's fastest non-woven bag and back seam maker and the ultra-fast 200-cycle vertical form fill and seal machine, as well as world's first HFF-S simplex machine with 120 cycles. At present, we hold 4 patents in India and internationally as a result of our sustained R&D function. These are some of the innovations that Mamta has delivered, which underscore our ability to set industry benchmarks while catering to evolving market demands. Our R&D investments and customer-centric approach ensure that we remain agile in responding to global trends, from sustainable packaging mandates to automation in manufacturing. While our product categories, packaging machines is a high-growth domain where we are expecting to grow beyond our existing markets in India and United States to newer markets in Europe, Africa, and Middle East. Packaging machines will be a key incremental growth driver for the company over and above the growth we do in our established bag and pouch making and co-extrusion verticals. Geographic diversification remains our central strategy. Currently, 65 to 70% of our revenues originate from exports, supported by international offices in Bradenton, Florida and Montgomery, Illinois, along with a network of sales agents across 5 countries in Europe, South Africa, and Asia. This infrastructure enables us to deepen market penetration while exploring new frontiers in regions like Middle East, where demand for advanced packaging solutions is rising. Turning to our financial performance, I would like to address some investor queries we have received on this front. First of all, I would like to emphasize that our revenue from operations is not evenly distributed across 4 quarters. The delivery of machinery solutions is inherently seasonal and lumpy, which contributes to uneven distribution across the 4 quarters. In fact, Q4 is typically our strongest quarter, followed by Q3. Going by historical data, we generally report 65 to 70% of our annual revenues in the second half of a financial year. This inherent skew towards H2 is expected to slightly increase this year. As of 9 months FY25, our revenue from operation stands at 143.54 CR compared to 148.25 CR in 9 months FY24, showing a marginal decrease of 3%. However, we anticipate making up for this in the coming quarter to achieve our annual growth target of approximately 18 to 20%. I would also like to state that we expect some order spillover from the current financial year to Q1 of FY26, estimated at about 35 CR. This was due to late order intake and delays in completing certain orders within FY25 as initially planned. Our year-to-date EBITDA margins are at 15% as compared to 16.4% 9 months FY24, resulting in a 9-month FY25 PAT of 13.6 crores as compared to 14.7 crores in the previous year. With that said, I would now like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pratik Bhandari from Art Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. You gave the guidance that we would be clocking a revenue of 300 crores for FY25, and in the 9 months FY25, we have up till now done 143 odd crores. So do you feel confident that we would be able to achieve in the fourth quarter around about 52% of revenue?
Our Q4 is always the strongest, and we are on track to deliver between 18 and 20% growth.
In terms of revenue?
In terms of revenue.
All right. And what would be the steady state margins?
We are able to maintain our margins as compared to previous year.
Can you quantify the number?
If you look at our published figures for 9 months FY24, we have generated margins that are close to about 58%.
EBITDA margin 58%?
No. This is contribution. EBITDA margin we have maintained at about 15%.
15%. So going ahead, we can assume this to be the steady state margin?
Yes.
Sir, also you mentioned that we were planning to do 300 machines for FY25. So in the 9 months FY25, what quantum we have done?
We have done about 150 machines in 9 months.
150?
Yes.
150.
Yes.
So we would be able to do the complete 300 as stated, or there would be some deviations?
There might be some spillover to next financial year.
So the quantum of order you mentioned for 35 crores, that would be spilling over the first quarter of FY26.
Yeah.
So what would be the quantum of machines in context of that for 35 crores?
That will be approximately 25 machines.
For this 35 crores?
Yes.
All right. And just one last question. You mentioned that, the packaging machine vertical of ours looks to be the, strong growth driver going ahead. So can you tell me tell me the name of our competitors in the same segment? And you also mentioned about the geographies apart from India that you are keen on more areas like, Europe and US. So how is this panning out now, and how you are looking at it, from 2 to 3 years down the line, this particular segment, packaging machinery?
So I will answer the first question first, which is about competition. Within India, our competitors are companies, Indian companies like Pakona. There are companies like Nichrome. And then there are some imported machines which come from companies like Mespac and Bosar. But I think this data has been provided in our RHP. All I can say is that no new competition has emerged since we filed our RHP.
Okay. And about the second question?
Your second question was about?
About how do you see the demand for this particular segment and the geographies you are willing to touch upon?
So the geographies that we are willing to touch upon, we have completed our market study and we have narrowed down strategically on certain countries within those geographical areas, and we have started visiting those countries and we have started exploring those markets.
All right. And just one last question, sir. Can you quantify the margin ranges for all the three verticals of ours?
Even that is part of our RHP, and there is no change. The margin range is from 42% to 52%.
42%?
Yeah. I'm talking about consumption of raw material. When you say margins, that is the raw material consumption, correct?
No. I'm talking about the EBITDA margins for the different verticals. Can you quantify?
What
margins are we making in bags and pouches and packaging and the extrusion?
EBITDA margin is derived on company basis and it is not derived on product basis.
Right. Okay, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mosam Shah from Wealth Guardian. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, I just wanted to know what is the R&D as a percentage of sales?
R&D as a percentage of sales is sustained at between 5 and 7% of our top line, which is also mentioned in our RHP.
Okay. And, sir, is there any particular reason apart from the logistic expense that we have higher realization in exports as compared to domestic sales? I think if I'm not wrong, it is almost 3x.
It's not 3x, by the way, but it is a pricing strategy based on our strengths in given market.
Okay. And do we track market share within India and globally?
Our traditional business, which is bag making and pouch making, as well as extrusion machinery business, is extremely fragmented, and no primary data is available which would enable us to track this.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dolly Chaudhary from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have a few questions. So first of all, I wanted to understand on our current facility, what is the peak revenue and peak volume we can do?
We have defined our current facility in terms of machine manufacturing capacity based on the current ratio of various products that we have. This is also part of RHP, and approximately number of machines that we can produce today in our facility is between 350 and 375.
Okay, so sir, like as we're targeting around 300 machines already, so are we planning to expand this facility anytime soon?
Yes, we are.
What expansion plans are we having?
We will announce them once our board has decided on it.
Okay, sir. And sir, like what would be our around order book position as of now?
Our order book position as of now is approximately 145 crore.
And which is executable in how much period?
It will be executable in up to 31st March, and then a spillover into Q1 of next financial year.
Okay, sir, and just last question. So, we are hearing the news that EPR norm is coming soon in plastic recycling and packaging industry. So, all our machines are, do we need to tweak anything or all our machines according to the recycling norm?
That is the strength of our products. As the packaging industry and the brand owners move under EPR from non-recyclable packaging to recyclable packaging, the films that are required to be used for recyclable packaging, all our machines have inherent capability to use those films. And that is since many years, and that is a huge opportunity for Mamta.
Okay, sir. That will be all. Thank you so much. And all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Vishal Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Vishal.
Sir, my question is regarding the long-term perspective of our company. How do we see our company growing from here in next 3 to 5 years? And what kind of margins will be maintaining?
We normally work on a shorter horizon than 5 years. But I can tell you that we will continue to maintain upward trajectory of at least 25% growth over next few years.
Sir, but this year we have guided for 18 to 20% of growth.
Yeah, so that is what I mean, 18 to 20% is the range.
Sir, and sir, you mentioned about entering into Europe and the US. So how do you see it unfolding? Because recently the US president has announced for the reciprocal taxes. So how do you see it? How it is going to affect us as a company?
been operating in USA through our own US-based subsidiary since 2004. So the market is not new to us, neither are the customers new to us. As far as reciprocal taxation is concerned, it has not yet been announced. Intention to do that has been announced. As per the reports that at least I have read in the newspapers, currently India as well as USA, both the governments are engaged in working on some kind of protocol for tariffs, and we will know when it is concluded. It is, I think we have been given time till early April, if I am not wrong.
Okay. Sir. And sir, my last question is, how our company
another thing is that our machines as of date, when they are imported into USA, attract about 3.1% duty.
Okay, sir.
Right. While China has already, it has been implemented that China has to pay 10% extra.
Right.
And USA will be importing, the US manufacturers will be importing a lot of stuff from China, which will attract higher duty. So I don't think our competitive edge will be blunted in any way.
And my last question is, sir, you mentioned about growing by 20% for the next couple of years. So can you please mention what kind of steps we are taking in all three verticals for this growth guidance?
There are two things that we are doing and that has been historically our strength. One is development of innovative products. So we do have a pipeline of new development as far as machines is concerned. And the second is our emphasis on developing new markets. So for packaging machines, I have already read it out that we are looking at Middle East, Africa and Europe as a market where we already are present for our bag making and pouch making machines.
Thank you so much, sir. All the very best for your future.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Digant Haria from Greenwich Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on, our last 3 years that, if I see our revenue in March 22, March 23 and March 24, like, we had a sort of flattish period these 3 years. And now if we look at the FY25 guidance, to meet that guidance, in the March quarter, we will have to do, something like 140, 150 crores of revenue, if we have to grow 20% for this year over March 24 year. Just if you can explain, why those 2-3 years were slow and, what has ensured that we will grow at 20% now after the IPO. So,
first of all, if I remember, because I don't have those papers in front of me of previous 3 years, but RHP clearly shows that I think we went from about 197 crores to 204 crores and then onwards to 236 crores. Right? So that is what on consolidated basis we have achieved. Now, the current guidance is based on the order book that we have on hand. As I already mentioned, we have an order book on hand that is around 145
crore. Right, I understand, sir, but something something should have gone right for us. Is it like the industry demand is more, or, we've got breakthroughs in more countries, or we have done some, more products. What is it that, because, 20% growth, from this base again, it will need something different to happen, or, it's just our sales efforts which are helping us.
It is because, like we have said in our RHP also, that the driver for growth for us is going to be packaging machines. Now, that is relatively a new business for Mamta, and as we gather momentum, we see this growth.
Okay. Okay, sir. So then my second question is on, you know, the manufacturing. You know, what components or, you know, what part of our machines do we make in-house? And, you know, is there any component which we, like, you know, make it through vendors or get it imported from somewhere? Like, you know, so if let's say a machine is worth 100, you know, what percentage is in completely in-house made? And, you know, what do we, like, you know, buy? Like, you know, maybe the electric circuit boards or, you know, any high-value components which we don't make, which we have to buy from somewhere else?
As far as manufacturing is concerned, we follow automotive model of manufacturing, and our manufacturing process is also mentioned in our RHP. We do not manufacture mechanical components in-house. However, the software that is inherent part of the controls is done completely in-house. So what we do is that we design, and then we have an ecosystem of nearly 250 vendors which produce components as per our drawings and as per our quality standards and supply those components to us.
Okay, sir.
The control part and the software that is required to operate the machines is completely done in-house. That is not a third-party solution.
Okay. And I heard previously a response to another participant that our EBITDA margins or our operating margins will remain in the 16% band, right? So last year we had 20% margins, the financial year 23-24, we had 20, but you were saying that 16 is a more stable run rate to expect.
That's what I said. I said that currently we are at
15%. Sir, when you say currently, because see, the quarterly variations are very high. So when you say currently we are at 15%, what do you mean? Like, is it for full year FY25 that we will have 15% or, you know...
For 9 months FY25, we have maintained EBITDA of 15%. Now, previous entire year's EBITDA was 21%.
Right.
Now, when we close the quarter, we will know exactly where we fall. But considering that we are maintaining upward growth, I think we should be somewhere near that figure.
Which means the last year's figure, right? The 20-21% range.
Correct.
And then, sir, what is it in our business that we are so heavy on the second half? Like, you know, I can see that, you know, in June and September, our revenues are very small. And then in December and March quarter, our revenues spike up a lot. So what is it in that industry? Or
I think it is nature of the beast. What happens is that what we have observed, I'll give you an example, that if we look at U.S. markets, then traditionally, the people there go on vacation once a year, and that happens in June and July. Most of them are out. So decision making slows down and your order intake drops. When they come back, there is this period between August and November. That is when the orders are placed on their suppliers. If we look in India, what happens is that if a machine is not taken delivery of by 31st of March, then normally delivery is deferred till their books of my customers' books of accounts are closed, and only then the banks will do disbursement based on new audited figures. So then you end up holding on to inventory till maybe July or August, and then it starts. So when you look at it, basically quarter one ends up being very slow, quarter two becomes better, quarter three becomes even better, and quarter four is basically madness.
Got it. Okay. I get it, sir. Thank you. And the last question is on the working capital. Like, I see that, you know, we get a lot of advances from our customers. So is it a part of policy that, you know, to keep our working capital under control, we demand some advance from customers who place orders, or Is it only few customers from whom we can take advances and for others we don't? Anything that you can highlight, and are there any room to improve the working capital position?
In machinery business, it is a practice to take advance from customers against orders. Because these are high value items, you cannot build inventory without advance.
Okay, sir.
And every customer pays advance, or in case of exports, they will open a LC that is 100% payable against dispatch, so that the money part is assured at the time of dispatch. So, cycle time and testing. Second thing is that there is also some credit available from our suppliers and we use it to our advantage.
Okay, got it. And so the one previous lady, she asked the question that we can make 370 machines at max. So what can be the total revenue out of that 370 machines in which we can make in our current factory?
I would only be guessing if I was to say that, because it would depend on what the kind of machines. We make machines and the product mix, because there are machines that where the sales price is hardly 15 lakhs, and then there are machines where the sales price is nearly 9 crores.
Okay.
Entirely depends on a product mix.
Okay, I get it. Thank you so much. All the best, and yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Hello. Yes, you are audible.
Yeah, so you mentioned you are developing some new products. Any new products in pipeline for next year?
Yes.
Could you mention the like market we are targeting for the new products and what their average realization can be?
These are strategic decisions, and at this point in time, unless we launch the products, we would not like to talk about them.
Okay, and for the revenue guidance you gave around 18%, for quarter four we have to kind of get around 130 crores of revenue. Is that possible?
Yes, it is.
And with 19% EBITDA margin, the quarter four margins are upwards of 25%. Is that also possible?
I never said that.
You said you would maintain the FY24 margins, right? For 25 as well?
I will have to backward calculate, because the margins are based on what is the product mix.
So what kind of EBITDA margins are we looking for this year and maybe next year as well?
We should be able to maintain our EBITDA margin as a percentage.
19%?
Yeah.
So that is showing around 26% margins for just the fourth quarter. Is that...
You're taking a weighted average, right?
Yes.
Maybe your mathematics is correct, ma'am.
And we have 145 crores of order, out of which 35 will be spilled over for next year. So that is around 110 crores of order book. So where are we, like, getting the rest 20, 25 crores of order for revenue generation for this fourth quarter?
Oh, okay. The order book that I mentioned is as on 15th of February.
That is 145.
The dispatch figures that we have published are as on 31st of December. So there was dispatch that occurred between 31st of December and 15th of February. So some total we will be able to announce only when we close the year.
Okay.
But as a guidance, I can say that we will be able to deliver between 18 and 20% growth over previous year.
Okay, and any guidance on how many machines we'll be able to do in next year, FY26?
We will maintain this trajectory of 18 to 20% growth, as I said earlier, into going forward. Notwithstanding any headwinds that may occur due to trade disruptions that may happen because of what is happening in USA right now.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prateek Bhandari from Art Ventures. Please go.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. In terms of the machines that we have sold up till now, that you alluded to 150, can you give a breakup as to what quantum of it was sold in India and outside India?
Export to domestic ratio we have maintained at about 65% exports and 35% in India. But that is in value.
So what would be the...
If you want to know the number of machines, I'll have to consult my figures and then get back to you.
All right. And what would be the, you know, CAPEX guidance for the next year, and how much CAPEX have we done up till 9 months of FY25?
We have not done any major CAPEX in this current financial year. And we are planning some kind of expansion, but that will be decided by board, and then we will know the quantum of CAPEX that we will be doing.
All right. And in terms of the order book, you mentioned that, you know, as on 15th of February, you are sitting on an order book of 145 crores, right? So can you give the split of this order book across segments? How much of it would be coming from bags and pouches and packaging machine and extrusion lines?
Just give me a second.
Sure.
Is approximately 60% of that is bag and pouch making machine.
Okay. And packaging would be?
30% is packaging machines, and balance is extrusion machine.
All right. So what I wanted to understand is, in terms of the order book, you mentioned that the execution timeline for this would be till 31st of March, right?
And Q1, part of it will be Q1 of next financial year. Right?
Yeah, that is 35 crores, right?
Yeah.
So I'm talking about 145 crores, which you mentioned that will be executed by 31st of March. So is the execution line of the order book across segments similar, or is there some deviation across segments?
Extrusion takes longer time to deliver, and bag making and pouch making machines take slightly shorter time to deliver. Having said that, but the total order book as on 15th February stood at about 145 CR. That is not entirely executed by 31st of March, and therefore there will be a spillover, we anticipate, of about 35 CR into Q1 of next financial year.
Okay, so out of this 145 odd crores, 35 would be spilled over. So then I guess executable would be 110.
Correct.
Right. And just one last question. What would be the working capital days, you know, on a steady state basis for us? What would be the range of it, and what is the room for improvement?
I think our working capital at steady state, as per the analytics that we had, was around 105 days or something like that.
105 to 110 days?
Yeah.
So is there any scope of improvement, or this would be the range we should look at?
This is a normal range at which we will continue. All capital machinery, because you have to build, you get marginal advance. You don't get 100% of the advance. You get advance that is to the tune of 15 to 20% of the value. And then you have to build that inventory, and inventory is realized only when the machine is delivered.
Right. And what kind of order book you are looking at for the next year?
For next year, we will give a firmer guidance when we meet next time. But we are looking at this 18-20% growth year on year for at least next few years. That is what we are looking at.
Sir, just in terms of, the clarity regarding the growth, revenue growth, you mentioned 18-20%, right?
Yeah.
I want a clarity regarding the margins you are alluding to, because there is some sort of confusion looking at the figures of the previous years as well, and because last year we clocked in a bit more margins, but you are somehow guiding that we would be ranging in between 15-16% in terms of EBITDA. So is my understanding correct?
No. What we said is that currently, as on 9 months FY25, our EBITDA margin is at 15%. When we have executed our orders for the FY25, the overall EBITDA will be in line with what we have done last year.
Will be in line with the next last year, right?
Yes.
So that means for the last year, what we have done margins, we should take that as the guidance for this year, right?
The percentage.
In terms, sorry?
As percentage, not in
value. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mausam Shah from Wealth Guardian. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity again. So just wanted to know, what is our pricing policy for exports, as in free on board or cost including insurance freight?
For exports, the delivery terms depend from customer to customer. Some of them are free FOB, some of them are C&F, and some of them are CIF, depending on customer preference and product to product. So that is
okay.
Driven by the customer, not driven by the company.
Okay. Okay. And also, we don't do anything, we don't manufacture anything in, within the company, right? So since our block is too small, so I just wanted to know what confidence you get from the vendors that you have tied up regarding the quality of the product.
We have been doing this for, ma'am, nearly 35, 37 years. And basically we are an Ahmedabad-based company, you know that. So
yeah.
Ahmedabad was known earlier in olden days, in 70s, it was called Manchester of India. And in those days, there are something like 130 odd textile mills here. All of them had mostly imported machinery. And to support that machinery in terms of spare parts, an entire spare part manufacturing industry came up in and around Ahmedabad, including ferrous foundries, non-ferrous foundries, small machine shops, etc. Then when in late 80s, textile industry started dying, we basically saw it as an opportunity and we started using those small workshops to get our components manufactured. Today, it is their second generation that is servicing our company, and most of them have upgraded themselves to CNC machines and absolutely ultra-modern manufacturing practices. We have also educated them over a period of so many years as to how they should achieve the quality that we need. We basically end up feeding 70-80% of their capacity. So they are basically dependent on us and therefore they are also loyal to us.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Participants, you may wish press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vishal
Kumar.
Mr. Kumar, there is a lot of disturbance from your background.
So ma'am, can you hear me now?
Yes, much better. Please go ahead.
So thank you for giving me this opportunity again. So my question is, as you can see a sign of slowdown both in India and abroad. So do you see any sign of slowdown in our business in terms of the sales or growth ahead?
No. We don't see a slowdown.
Okay. So my question is, sir, so you told that there's a, the order book of around 145 crores. So I just want to understand that, it will be executable in next, 6 months, as you mentioned. So, what gives you confidence that, we'll be able to maintain 18% to 20% of growth for coming years? I just want to understand that how much days we are able to close orders and how this cycle.
The confidence is derived from the fact that we have inquiries on hand, and what inquiries that we are pursuing, it is based on what are the efforts that are being put in meeting various customers and exploring various markets. It's based on the strength of the product and how the products are being viewed by the customers. It is also based on what our customers have told us in terms of their own expansion plans over next 6 to 12 months horizon.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Shah from DNS Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Sir, I just wanted to check, what is the market size, and can you just give the market size details depending upon the machines which you manage, and what would be our market share in those segments? I mean, if you can help with that.
I think I did mention this earlier too. Bag making, pouch making machines, extrusion, this business is extremely scattered, and primary data to actually work out what is your market share is not possible. As far as packaging machinery business is concerned, there is some data that is available which basically defines the market of overall packaging machinery at about $8.3 billion. We have filed the industrial report along with our RHP document, and it clearly mentions what are the segments that are growing and what are the areas that are growing. And that is the reason, based on those reports and what we have observed in the market so far, we are trying to explore Middle East, Africa and Europe for our packaging machinery business. Please note that our bag making and pouch making machines, we have been selling traditionally in over 75 countries around the world since many years.
So got it. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir. That's amazing.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nala Ram, an individual investor. Go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. First is, how does the typical sales cycle look like for packaging machinery? Can you explain that? Number two, in terms of capacity expansion from current 350-375 machines, what would be the next phase of expansion, and how much capital will be required for that? Thank you.
Can you repeat the first question?
So I want to understand, how is the typical sales cycle for the product? So let's take an example of packaging machinery, horizontal, form and fill machine. So you receive an inquiry, then you, what exactly have you submit, you have to design specifically for the customer, or is it the standard design, in which case you simply submit a quote and then the accepts it? Is it how it works? Can you just help us understand that, how it, the sales cycle works?
Typical sales cycle in packaging machinery or even bag making machines is between 3 months and 6 months from the date you receive inquiry. These machines are part of some customer's expansion projects. So there are other things that are tied in, like if they have enough land, if they have enough building, or are they going to make a new building, how the finances are coming through, are they going to borrow from bank, or it is going through their internal accruals, etc., etc. But generally speaking, it would be between 3 months and 6 months is a typical sales cycle from inquiry to getting an order. Then execution would be further anywhere between 3 months to 6 months. So you're looking at about 12 months, and that is what gives you basically a visibility, generally a visibility as to what do you think in terms of probability that is going to happen over next 6 months to the 12 months. And that is how we can basically predict that what is going to be our growth going forward.
Understood. So, sir, one question here is, do we customize machinery for individual clients, or is there standard designs for customers?
Most of the machines, 80% of the machines are standard, and you might have to add what we call as attachments based on what customer wants to do in terms of its product and the format of packaging. So somebody may want to make a punch, some kind of a hanger roll punch, then we might have to add that to the machine. Or somebody may say that, okay, I want to make these four different sizes of machines, so then you have to provide tooling for those four different sizes of machines, etc. Right? Steel width. Yeah. And themselves behave differently depending on whether it is snacks or chocolates or whatever. So then the filling systems have to be selected accordingly, and so on and so forth. But the basic features are more or less same.
Okay. One more question is, in terms of machinery sales, do we have, what is the typical life of your machines? And second, do we have a recurring aftermarket business to supply spares or something like maintenance, etc., components for the machine?
Our recurring aftermarket sales in terms of services and spares is at about 7 to 10% of our business. The life cycle of the machine depends on the application of the machine, how the machine is being maintained, how much the machine is being used, how many hours a year the machine is being used, etc., etc. So, in terms of converting machines, we anticipate
does that answer your question?
Bag and pouch making machines is between 7 to 10 years. Extrusion machines is between 12 and 15 years, and packaging machines is between 10 and 12 years. But this is subject to how the machines are maintained, how much the machines are used, what is the product, what is the environment in which the machines are being used, etc., etc.
Understood. Sir, one final question. In your current order book, is it possible to differentiate between new demand, meaning new capacities being set up by the customers, versus replacement of existing machinery by the customer?
I don't have those figures available with me, but what replacement of the machinery is basically minimal. Most of the orders come because customers are expanding.
Okay. Understood.
Or they are modernizing.
Understood, understood. Yeah. And can I take one last?
Hello?
Can I take one last question?
Yeah, please.
So, you have said that you want to, packaging machine is the fastest growing segment. And so there, effectively, on what parameters the customer is evaluating you versus some any other supplier? Can you help us understand that?
We are focusing on food industry in India as well as in USA for our packaging machine. So when a customer is evaluating the machine, they are looking at technology that would allow them to basically pack their product while maintaining the hygiene. Hygiene is extremely important because you are ultimately dealing with food that is being consumed by people. So how the second is the technology that would allow for excellent seal integrity so that the product that is packed inside, the properties of the products are maintained as per the shelf life and the product doesn't spoil during the shelf life that has been printed on the package. So the security of the product and hygiene, that is the first thing. The second thing, the next thing that people look at is the output, whether we are able to cater to the volumes that they want to pack. And then the third thing is what kind of service support the company is providing and what is the control on wastage that company is prepared to pay. So operating efficiency is something as per contract that we offer to our customers for packaging machines, we offer OEE of 95%. So that's the commitment we do on operating efficiency, and that is very important for our customers. Lately, a trend has emerged where customers have started asking whether a machine can use film that is recyclable. And we have worked on this, and we have number of patents that we have filed and received for using technology that would allow our customers to use recyclable film.
Thank
so
you.
That is also becoming an important factor.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this will be the last question for today, which is from the line of Chirag Mehta from Chirag and Mehta Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. I just had one question is that what are the efforts or the extra miles the management may be thinking to increase the margin? Like, I do appreciate the guidance given of 18% to 20% for more couple of years. But what about the margin? Like, what more efforts the management can take or, you know, something where we can increase the margin? So can you just throw light on that?
The effort, there are, first of all, given the current scenario, the focus is on maintaining the margin. That is the first priority for any management, and that is our first priority too. However, in our case, increase in the margin is likely to happen provided we become successful in introducing our packaging machines in Middle East and Africa and Europe in near future. Because as I have already mentioned during our Q&A session, we have a strategic pricing policy as far as exports is concerned, and our margin in exports are higher. So then that higher margin in exports will translate into overall higher margins for the company.
So, sir, have you started the appointing the distributor or the setting up the office there, or like what? Like,
the activity has already started. We have started putting together a team of people. We have started visiting some of the target countries, etc., etc. Please understand that bag making and pouch making machines, we are already present in those countries.
Fantastic. Commendable, sir. Thanks a lot, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Apurva Kane, Chief Executive Officer, for closing comments.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It was a pleasure interacting with all of you. Hopefully, we have been able to answer most of your questions. Given the constraints of rules and regulations that have been framed by SEBI as well as exchanges, we have tried to be as open as possible. Lastly, it has been our first interaction with all of you, so if you have found us wanting, please pardon us. This is a learning experience for us also, and hopefully we will be better prepared for next interaction. So we will meet again when we close our financial year and thereafter. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of PIL Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.